This morning, the president is heading to Keene, California, in the San Joaquin Valley. There, he'll pay tribute to the memory of Cesar Chavez. Chavez's home and burial place, known as La Paz, will be designated as a national monument. This year also marks the 50th anniversary of the founding of the National Farm Workers Organization, which later became the United Farm Workers Union. For more on the life and legacy of Cesar Chavez, we're joined now by Matt Garcia. He's author of the new book, From the Jaws of Victory, The Triumph and Tragedy of Cesar Chavez and the Farm Worker Movement. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Good morning.
When you look back at Cesar Chavez's legacy, what do you see as his greatest achievements?
Well, I think one of the greatest achievements is that he was able to convince consumers that they can change the course of history. They can bring social justice to farm workers by just the simple act of not buying grapes. And that was an act that he achieved with the help of a great many of people that, you know, to this point have actually been overshadowed to some extent by the focus on him.
But let's keep with him for just a moment. Cesar Chavez was raised in Arizona during the Depression. He worked in the fields harvesting crops from a very young age. How do you think that those experiences affected him?
Well, he lost his farm, the family farm, when he was a child. And I think much of what he was doing through the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s was in some ways a way to get back that lost paradise. And he was looking for, you know, the kind of respect that farm workers should get and that he saw in his family, but was denied them because of pretty much the power of growers and the ignorance about what farm work was like amongst the public.
As you mentioned, Cesar Chavez is perhaps best known for his boycott on grapes, but that wasn't the only tactic he used. The United Farm Workers Union started off using strikes as their key tactic. When did that shift and why?
Right. Well, Chavez had to be convinced that the boycott was the main strategy. Early on, he, like any great unionist, believed that the strike and marches were the mechanism to achieve social justice and labor justice in particular. But he actually was convinced initially by people around him, Jim Drake, who was a part of the migrant ministry and was one of the founders of the UFW. He said, "What are we going to do between the harvest? What are we going to do between the marches and the strike?" And he came up with the idea of a boycott. Later on, Jerry Brown, and this is not the governor that was just speaking, but rather a young graduate student from Cornell, he'd come to California wanting to write a dissertation about the farmworker communities. And Chavez made a deal with him. He said, "You give me 2 weeks of your life in terms of serving the boycott, serving the movement, and I will give you access to the community." Well, that 2 weeks turned into 2 years, and Jerry really applied his love of data analysis to refine the boycott. What they looked for was a reduction of shipments of grapes to the 10 leading cities in North America by 10%, and they did much better than that, achieving 40% in places like Chicago and Boston. And that really shifted Chavez's thinking about what was going to deliver social justice to the farm workers.
Matt Garcia, you write in your book that understanding Cesar Chavez's failings is just as important as understanding his accomplishments. How so?
Well, you know, they achieved so much by the boycott. In 1969, 1970, it went international. And as a consequence of the pressure, they brought growers to the table for the first contracts in California history for farm workers in 1970. But after that, and this is where the history usually stops, Chavez really lost his way. In 1975, the governor, then Jerry Brown as well, he created the best labor law in the country, Agricultural Labor Relations Act, and it created a mechanism for state-sanctioned labor justice and elections. But Chavez in the mid-1970s, 1976, 1977, really took his foot off the pedal and stopped organizing farm workers in favor of creating an intentional community at La Paz, which it makes it all the more ironic that this monument is happening there, because this is a site where, in fact, Chavez lost his focus.
Well, how so? Tell us about what happened at La Paz and how you think that affected the union's strength.
Well, what happened is that Chavez was very close friends with a man who was leading an organization called Synanon. It had become a religion in 1974 after being a rehabilitation center. It had many locations around the state, but its home place, and that's what they called it, was in Badger, California. And Chuck Dietrich was the leader of that organization. Dietrich was experimenting with a thing called the game. This was an encounter group exercise in which he'd shame the participants into conformity. And Chavez saw great value in this as he was losing control of the union because ALRA was not working according to his plans, because he saw conspirators within the movement. He tried to gain that very conformity by playing the game there at La Paz, and it was utterly destructive to the union and really lost its way as a consequence.
Matt Garcia is author of the new book on Cesar Chavez. It's called From the Jaws of Victory. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much.
And if you'd like to see some photographs of Cesar Chavez's childhood home, you'll find them on our website. Go to kpcc.org and then click on the link that says Take 2 under the program section.